Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We're going to have a different show today. We're going to talk about the Craven County Animal Protective Services. And first thing, my name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Sherry Hunt.
Joanna Kloster.
Tanya Osler.
Pat Park.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Sherry, you want to do the quick introduction for everyone?
I'm very glad to be here on a follow-up from last year. We have brought with us Dr. Osler, who's been a phenomenal director at Craven Pamlico Animal Shelter. What her and her team are doing is something that I am so proud of that I can brag about their team across the state so other agencies can emulate what we're doing here in Craven County to improve animal welfare from one corner to the other corner, north and south.
Mary's going away to cough for a while. Sorry about that. I mentioned off air, but again, we as the outside persons, we have seen a great difference in the county shelter working with the private nonprofit shelters, Colonial or whatever. It's a 180 change from what we had seen years ago. And thank you for doing that change.
Well, I really appreciate all the work that everyone's done. At the end of the day, we're all in this for the animals. And we have an annual intake of about 4,000 animals. And I don't think there's 4,000 adoptees. So it's really nice to be able to share that load with both local and afar. We're sending animals all over North Carolina, all over the United States, and even up to Canada to get them home. So.
Good.
It's amazing.
Good. I make donations for those doggy flights through iHeart Dogs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Yeah. We've had a couple flights out.
Going back a number of years, we had friends in Massachusetts. We came down from Massachusetts. We had friends up there that adopted a dog that was stranded back in the days of Katrina. Mm. And they flew them up to Massachusetts. Now, I'm not sure that the dog likes snow, but that's a whole different story. So 4,000-something intakes. Again, you're trying to make it a no-kill shelter in total.
Yes, that's correct. Everyone's goal, I think, in general is no-kill. We don't want to have to euthanize animals if we don't have to. 90% is considered no-kill. We actually were able to hit that in the month of March for the first time. So we're hoping to keep that up. But at the end of the day, we kind of call ourselves a smart shelter where, there's going to be decisions that have to be made, but we are going to do the best we can for every animal and really try and save as many as we can and not concentrate on the numbers. And that seems to be working. The numbers don't lie.
And even as a pet owner, I know that we've had to go through the time when we've had a pet that we know is suffering, and I don't want to let go of that pet. I really don't want to. But the best thing for that pet is to end that. Yeah.
Now let me ask a question: does the shelter provide spaying or neutering services at all, or do they recommend someone who does, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we're not, no shelters are allowed to, well, I shouldn't say that. Our shelter is not currently able to provide spay and neuter to the community, partly because of North Carolina law and partly because of just the sheer amount of animals that we're currently dealing with. But there are a few in the surrounding area that do provide low-cost spay and neuter. So Adoption First in Jacksonville, Riverbank, and they do accept some SNAP benefits that provide vouchers and things to discount the prices. But we do spay and neuter all of our own animals. So if you're adopting from us, they're fixed. And then we do some rescue spay and neuter for cats that's akin to TNR. We work with the Craven Pamlico TNR project to try and get these animals fixed, put back out into the community for their caretakers that feed them, and some can be pet, some can't, but they feed them and they do want to keep these outdoor cats, but don't want more. So we try to work with them.
Yeah, we have a cat who was rescued from a shelter that was known to be a TNR shelter. Mm-hmm. And he was probably taken as a kitten when he was probably, my guess would be, between 6 and 9 months old.
Yeah.
And he has turned out to be a wonderful cat.
He is a pack rat, though, because if you leave him around, he will take it.
Hey, some of them love their little collections.
I think it's important to circle back to the discussion of euthanasia. It's not anything that any of us want to delve into, but it is necessary a lot of times. So prior to being elected as Craven County Commissioner, I did serve on the board for Colonial Capital Humane Society and did, in fact, have to create a policy for the need for euthanasia. And as most people know, they are a quote-unquote no-kill shelter. However, there are instances whether a dog is injured so severely, has a communicable disease, or there are occasions when they're unrehabilitatable. We can't have them going around biting human beings and hurting children and so forth and so on. So even with our quote-unquote no-kill all-volunteer shelters, they need a euthanasia policy in place to protect other animals and humans as well. So I just wanted to put that in there.
You're in the business of the best of care that's possible. Yes.
Exactly.
I'd like to add something to that that has to do with the euthanasia and what's causing that. Like, it's overpopulation. So one of the things that is causing shelters to be overcrowded is things like backyard breeders. And I'd like to share an ordinance. This is some good news on the animal welfare front in North Carolina. I just learned that an ordinance was passed in Lawrenceville near Charlotte. And what it's now illegal to sell, barter, adopt out, display for commercial purposes, or give away any live animal, including but not limited to dogs and cats, within the right of way of any public highway, commercial parking lot, garage, flea market, festival, park, community center, or any public area like that. So they literally passed this at the local level. And I want to share that. I shared this with our Sheriff Chip Hughes at a town hall that I attended 2 weeks ago. And he was quite thrilled about that. And he said, yep, let's get this going. So I am happy to say that I'm looking forward to working on this ordinance with my commissioner, Sherry, or one of our local commissioners, Sherry Hunt, in the summer after they finished working on the budget. This could be something we could do here, yeah, because we do have a problem with backyard breeders that are producing animals that are sick, that are not healthy, that have problems or are poorly bred. And then they're surrendered to the shelters and they're lifting the rates and they promote, unnecessary euthanasias.
Yeah. No, we definitely see a lot. People bringing dogs in around 4 to 6 months old, saying they bred them, had an owner for them, and then, the adopter backed out, or it was an unexpected litter, or, things like that. So I definitely think the local level is the first step.
Yes, absolutely, because I've had people report to me, there's somebody down in Jacksonville, which I know isn't in Craven County, but there's somebody selling puppies always off the back of their truck at the farmer's market.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so, and they're not registered, they're not licensed or any of that. And that's another area that I think North Carolina could look at, and I'm happy to start looking into that, is standards for breeders in North Carolina, something on the books.
No, for sure.
And we have a neighbor nearby that had a few dogs, a number of dogs, actually three dogs, but one of them was not going to get along with the other two. That one wanted to be a sole resident, he worked extremely hard to make sure that he found a good home for that sole resident. And so it's a win-win situation where, not throwing them out onto the street or whatever else, but it was a win-win.
Yeah.
So
we always encourage people when they're looking to rehome their animals to try to rehome them on their own first. We have a great website that we're connected to. It's called Home to Home or home-home.org. And that allows you to post your own animal up to try and get them rehomed. And it weeds out the scammers and the sellers and things like that.
Whatever you do, don't leave it at the side of the road.
Yes.
Do not.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We will be right back. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We have a new person joining us, Sheriff Chip Hughes. Welcome, Sheriff.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Very good. And I guess the question, Mary,
I wonder if you would just talk a little about the changes that you have made and seen in the Animal Protective Program since you've been sheriff.
I could talk a lot about that.
Because I know there have been some major changes.
There have. A lot of positive changes. I'll tell you, when we first came into office in December of 18, animal control was controlled by the shelter, and I think there was 1.5 officers that controlled all 985 square miles. Certainly not enough. And worked closely with our county manager and the commissioners at the time and told them that, you know, we were going to be working animal cruelty and neglect cases, and we were going to be very aggressive at it because it had not been happening here. And that was unacceptable. And I campaigned on that, too. And, you know, the important thing that I wanted folks to know also is that, you know, when we were making these raids on these houses for dogfighting, abuse, and neglect, we were also getting drugs, stolen weapons, stolen merchandise, child pornography, human trafficking, and I can go on and on, and a lot of domestic violence and what have you. So it was more than just us checking on that animal because they didn't have adequate food and water and shelter as the ordinance and state law requires. We were finding all of these other things. We took some major drug dealers off the streets because we took time to stop and check on the welfare of the animal. And that's still happening today, not nearly as much as what it was. It's almost somewhat rare now. But the big changes is, you know, one, we have grown that part of my office from 2 to 5 now. And of those 5, the Animal Protective Services, or APS, they are the second highest call volume in my office next to the Patrol Bureau. Wow. And we're averaging, over the past couple of years, we're at about 55,000 calls for a year total, but second highest is Animal Protective Services. So to kind of expand on that, you know, once we got that on our end, the enforcement side and going out and catching these folks that were abusing and neglecting animals, the missing component was the shelter and what was not being done there as it should be. And I was a huge proponent of positive change. And it's not that I wanted my office to have it. I just wanted it done right. And that's what the people wanted. And I'll just, you know, what was going on out the shelter was not acceptable. And the county, I think, realized that after a couple very, very bad situations where it was obvious that things were not being handled properly. And our commissioners, hats off to them, because it's not cheap, but it was something that had to be done. They saw fit to do a restructure and invest in that shelter and the staff and how things were going to be run moving forward. And they decided that moving forward with a full-time vet was the way to go. And we're just one of, I don't know, Commissioner, how many?
One of eight out of 100 counties right. in the state of North Carolina.
I'll tell you, and initially, I think we're all, you know, we were cautiously optimistic, but let me tell you, that is the best thing that has happened to this county in regards to animal protective services is the shelter hiring Dr. Osler, putting her in place, her staff, the amount of animals that have been saved that would have been put down, hands down, because they would not have been able to get the proper medical treatment that they needed. My team and her team work as one. So we're not really, technically on paper, we're two separate units, but we're really one. It was not that way. It was like oil and water before. But now it could not be running smoother. And the county, I think, needs to continue to invest in that shelter because what they've got is a well-oiled machine now. When you walk into that shelter, it's not all gloom and doom. It's actually brighter. People are actually smiling. People actually enjoy volunteering there. My folks love going over there and working and helping out. And my folks know that when they go over there, as things a lot of times are hectic with so much going on, they know that they are to jump in and lend a hand. Yeah. But, you know, their partnership with so many rescues now that were not there, and which is a huge part, the donations that they get now because people see how successful it is so much more than what it used to be. So kudos to the commissioners for taking that chance because it's a big investment. But I can tell you what was going on here was not right. And that shelter was not successful, and now it is, and it's being done right. And Dr. Osler, I can't say – I always sing your praises, ma'am.
Thank you.
Because it's – I mean, listen, my mom adopted one 2 weeks – 3 weeks ago from you.
Yeah.
And she came from Pitt County here. Because, you know, now these animals' profiles, if you will, are being put out there so people know what's available. You know, and whereas really before that wasn't happening, you know, they're utilizing social media like it should. Mm-hmm. We're getting the word out and that makes a difference. And then once again, it's a pleasant, you know, exchange there when folks come to get animals, you know, and then the services that are provided after you get it. And there's a clear understanding with these folks that they don't adopt to just anybody. There's a vetting process now. And they make it very clear that, you know, with pet ownership comes responsibility. Mm-hmm. So these things were not happening.
Well, you mentioned that your mom came over from Pitt County. When I wanted to adopt, this was back in the bad old days, I could not get anybody to answer the door or the phone. Mm-hmm. And I tried for weeks. So I drove to Onslow County and adopted a dog there. And they had the dog profiles online. So you could see before I drove all that distance, what did they have available? I ended up getting a different dog than the one that I picked out online because once you interact with them, you can tell which one's going to be. And the one that I ended up with is a real sweetheart, but she's 98 pounds. I think she was a dump.
She's a lap dog, though, right?
Uh-huh. I think she was dumped, and her goal was to never be hungry again. And
you know, one of the basic things that you hear, I hope, is respect for the animal themselves. It's not just a thing; it is something. It is to be respected, and when you're showing respect for the animals or showing everything, it's not just the respect for that. I'm saying it's respect for life within the county.
And what would speak to that is on social media, the collaborations that I am seeing, like they had a group of college kids come down, or was it high school? There's different groups that are coming and walking the dogs that are donating time. So you guys are reaching out to the community at large, and that is such a beautiful thing to see. And also the way you're promoting the dogs now, which I'm able now to share on, and many of us are sharing on our social media. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's just, you're like the sheriff said, tightly run ship.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, if you make it a pleasant experience and the volunteers are appreciated and are made to feel like they're part of the team, because I can tell you neither one of our offices would be able to operate without our volunteer force.
No.
They are so important. And now you walk in there and see them, and they're excited about being there, and they know they're making a difference, and they're treated like part of the team. Before,
that's great.
It was not that way.
At Christmas time, Jill's Pet Resort collected for the shelter, and I made two trips. They had a shopping list that you guys had provided, and I bought everything on the list. I did that twice, and toted that stuff in there. And so my question is, how can I keep making that donation?
Well, we always appreciate any and every donation, even if it's just a leftover bag of food that your dog doesn't want to eat, we will repurpose it. But most of our funding comes from the county. Thank you, commissioners. But we use those donations and the extra things to provide that additional care to those animals.
Well, is there a place online that we can make the donation? Do we bring it down to you? I mean, how does that work?
Yes. You can always stop by and make a donation. We also have an online portal through the Craven County Health Foundation. And as long as you specify that it's for animal services, it'll end up for us.
Dr. Osler, do you have an Amazon account where people can go look at the Amazon account online and then it gets delivered directly to the shelter?
We do. I believe it's Craven-Pamlico Animal Services Center, or CPASC, so C-P-A-S-C. It's a mouthful, but you should be able to find us on Amazon.
Thank you.
I have a question. You neuter or spay all your animals.
Yes.
And I'm assuming they get all their shots.
Correct.
So I'm assuming there's an adoption fee.
There is. Currently, our adoption fees, we have $80 for a cat, or for dogs, it's $75 if they're heartworm positive, or $125 if they're heartworm negative. And that does include vaccinations, microchips, spay, neuter. We give them heartworm prevention, deworming, and then we do offer heartworm treatment for the heartworm positive dogs. So,
if you brought in a kitten from your neighbor whose cat had kittens, you would spend more than that getting their shots and getting them spayed or neutered. So that is a very reasonable fee.
You mentioned microchips. And the one thing that bothers the heck out of me with the microchips is, folks, you've got to keep your current, the address and your phone number current on the microchip. If you lose your animal and you have want any chance of it being found and returned to you, you need to keep that information current.
Yeah, that's true. We do get quite a few animals in that have microchips and they're either not registered or is incorrect information. And we have a couple of online sleuths. They go through Facebook and Google searches and things. And we have been able to locate relatives of those animals and try to get them back home. And, if we don't, we do put them back up for adoption in the hopes that they'll find a loving home.
Yeah, that is... We belong to Home Again, I think is the, and another one just went bankrupt, but they gave all their information to another service.
So
that the animals would still be covered.
Yeah, Save This Life. Just always double check that your microchip's up to date and that it's registered in the first place, because some veterinarian offices do register them and some do not. We register all of our chips that we give out when the animal gets adopted. So no worries on our end.
Where do we want to go from here?
I think mine are all chipped, but there's no address. I better get on that.
And it's really easy to update that in the system. You just, if you don't know your animal's microchip number, you can pop into any vet office, and they should be able to scan your animal and get you the number.
Right.
So.
Wait, and does that tell you the company that they're registered, that the chip is registered with as well?
Yeah. If you have the number, you can go on the... AHA, so AAHA microchip website, and you can look it up on there, and it'll tell you exactly what phone number to call and what service to update your information.
And some of the company that we deal with gives you, I get emails occasionally if there's a missing animal in the area.
Yep.
You know, have you seen this cat or this dog?
Yeah, and we've been lucky to have the Animal Protective Services be able to return a few of animals in the field, and that's the microchips help a lot with that. So keep them coming in.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters, and we will be right back. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
A
professional auto service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you're taking us in a different direction?
Well, I'm not sure how different it is. Doctor, you mentioned that you had hit 90% for the first time. Would you kind of explain what all that means?
Yeah, so we keep track of every animal that steps foot and leaves our shelter. So at the end of each month, we calculate out the intake numbers, the animals that we have in the shelter themselves, and then the animals that we got out, whether that's through rescue, through adoptions, or unfortunately through euthanasia. And in March, we hit 91.4% of those animals that came in. Left through a live outcome. So that still leaves about 9% that were euthanized. Most of those ended up being feral cats, which we do still get in occasionally, and then the behavioral medical euthanasia sometimes occurs.
A feral cat, other than a kitten, is very hard to home because they just don't.
Yes, and that's where we are working closely with quite a few different cat rescues in New Bern and Craven itself to get those animals from their carers fixed and then put back out. And they do work with us as well as a couple of the veterinarians in the area to get those animals done and put back out into their...
Now, that's the Notch Deer program, is it
correct.
Not?
Oh. Yes. So if you see a cat with a left ear nice and flat at the top, that means they've been fixed and vaccinated. So they are just living their life and won't make any more and are also protected against rabies and feline distemper.
So we do have feral cat colonies in the county.
Oh, yes. so we do not run the TNR program. We are just one of the veterinarians that they use to get these animals fixed. But there is over 1,000 cats on the wait list right now for a mixture of reasons, whether they are true ferals that people are just putting food out, those semi-ferals that maybe will let the feeder pet them and nobody else, and then the occasional porch cat that might be nice but is popping out babies every 6 months or so, and really just trying to get the colonies as well as the semi-owned animals fixed and taken care of.
I think one of the most interesting feral colony is Ocracoke.
Yes.
Because they maintain the colony to keep the rodent population down.
Yep.
And almost every storefront or whatever else has food and water out front.
Yep.
But they're maintaining the feral colony.
When we were living in Massachusetts, we were doing foster care for the local shelter. And at one point, we were given a cat that was maybe between 9 months and a year. Feral that had been having kittens, mm-hmm. And the last kitten she'd had been stillborn, and she was a mess. And they gave her to her because we were two old people in a quiet house, and I had the grandkids were there 2 days a week, so there was a mix. And they said to us when they gave her to us, if she bites or anything, you call us, we'll take her back, because they just weren't sure. And when you picked her up, it was like picking up a football. She was so tight. And it took about 2 to 3 weeks, and she was sitting on the grandkids' laps and playing with them. It took about 2 months that she was this total love bug. And we didn't keep her because the reason we were doing foster care is we had just lost a cat that we'd had for 16 years, and we just weren't ready. But she went to a woman who was 80 years old, who had just lost her husband, who didn't drive, and lived in senior housing.
Yep.
Well, that cat's name got changed to
Bijou,
the French word for jewel. And you think that the cats in Egypt, ancient Egypt, were worshipped. This cat, and she was a cat, she was a lap cat who wanted to be in the room with you.
Yep.
So this was the perfect match for this woman. And we were able, a couple of times after she was adopted, to take the grandkids over to see her again. She started out when we had her name was April. And it was one of the happiest feral cat adoption stories. Yep. It was amazing. And she was borderline because she was almost a year old. And her disposition at the time we got her was not wonderful. But it took about 2 weeks to two weeks we saw the beginning, and took about 2 months to really get to where we had something wonderful.
But I think the encouraging thing is they have their own, the animals have their own personalities.
Yep.
You need to explore what's there and look for the personality, and yep. Folks go out and adopt them though.
Yeah. We always tell people the 3-3-3 rule. So 3 days to kind of get used to the house, 3 weeks to really open up and start showing their personality, and then 3 months to get fully established in the home. So we always encourage our adopters and fosters to really give the animal that time, because what might appear to be a semi-feral or feral cat may just be scared and never been pet nicely before.
Mm-hmm.
So we really do encourage fostering, particularly Colonial Capital, I know, has a really strong foster program. Right now, we mostly foster for behavioral medical issues and kitten season, which is rapidly upon us. So if you're looking to foster, you want a couple of kittens for a few weeks, just giving them somewhere to be safe. We do have a kitten foster program as well.
Well, I will say that the cat, April, the cat that we fostered, had a better disposition than the one that we lost.
You talk about Colonial having a very good foster program. I can attest to that 3 times. Where we started fostering and immediately failed at it.
There we go.
And they're still with us. And, they're all of them, just mixed breeds. Two of them have pit mix, and of course, the pits get a bad rap. But, I say that because you can make any dog vicious, But, right now, one of them's sitting on my couch at the house watching at the Andy Griffith Show, just living her best life. But, that story, it just kind of tell you from where this shelter has gone now, or then to where it is now. We got Bailey. One of my APS deputies had picked her up. She had been struck by a car. Looked at me and called me and said, "Hey, Sheriff, I want to let you know, just pick this one up," and called the shelter. Now, this was 4 or 5 years ago. And she said, "I'm sitting here looking at the dog. She's wagging her tail, favoring her right arm." I call it arm, leg, whatever. And but they just told me to put her down. And I'm like, "No, we're not going to do that. That doesn't." And, you know, now she would have gone to the shelter. Dr. Osler would have fixed her up. And after the 72-hour wait, she would be in a home. Whereas before, that was not the case, because the dog that is sitting currently on my couch, living her best life, and I'm afraid to say she's overweight a little bit, but she would not be with me had things not changed.
My poodle watches TV intently for any view of an animal of any kind, and she even recognizes graphics. Because I watch Greg Gutfeld, and he's always got a graphic of a Democrat ass broken in half. And she barks at any animal.
It's very disturbing, isn't it?
And when she starts barking, the other four start barking. And so my watching TV has allowed me to find out how often they stick dogs into commercials just for grins.
They know what they're looking at.
Yeah, they do.
Well,
so she got upset, and rightfully so.
Yeah. So when I have to have the closed captions on my TV because I can't hear what they're saying.
We used to have a cat that watched too. The New England Patriots.
There you go.
I swear mine can read.
He would chase the football across the screen.
Oh, gosh.
Because Brady did a lot of passing.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, but, you know, I say that because, you know, those things aren't happening now. And no. These are huge success stories that these animals that in the past would have been put down because of a minor injury. Mm-hmm. Because when they took it and the doctor came out over at Craven Animal Hospital and said, so I'm going to x-ray her and I'll let you know, good or bad, whatever, he came out and said, hairline fracture. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have her in a little splint for 2 or 3 weeks, put a little Neosporin on her boo-boo and, you know, and... To think that my Bailey would not be with us today because somebody said, the easiest thing to do is just put her down.
Yeah. Ugh. We have a puppy with a splint on right now, had a little fracture on his foot, and we sent out a Yorkie to rescue, had a broken leg. We splinted that and they went to Misplaced Mutts. We have a dog we found with a cone. Mm-hmm.
The cone of shame?
The cone of shame, just walking around downtown.
It happens. So
she came in and had some bone exposed on her foot. She's been bandaged and almost made a full recovery now. So we really, my staff has picked up a lot. They love learning new things and doing the medical side of it. And, I mean, like you said, they're living their best life. They just want the love.
That's
and
it.
With a little bit of care, they can recover and... We really invest.
And somebody
they
just
the love. Yeah. They sure give a lot.
Oh yeah.
And somebody just taking a minute to fix them up.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, and invest in them a little bit. And you know, if we didn't have a Dr. Right. Osler here, a vet on staff, you know, that wouldn't happen.
No, it'd be too expensive.
Now I have a question, because this happened to us, and I didn't know quite what to do. If you're driving down 70, and you see a dog walking along the side of the road, who do you call?
APS. I mean, our folks.
What is that? A separate number? That's not a 911.
No, you call the non-emergency dispatch, and because they dispatch all of us, all of our calls go through dispatch. But you just call Craven County Dispatch,
and they will come and pick the dog.
Yeah, they'll notify my APS, and they will either, call the person that called it in to get a little bit more information, description of the dog, cat, whatever. And then we'll go get them.
Okay, that's good information. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to know that phone number off? Okay. I'm sorry.
As a matter of fact.
He doesn't call himself very often.
I don't, but yeah. So you can call the non-emergency number, 252-633-0498, and that's a non-emergency number. Obviously, if it's an emergency, we dial 911.
Just written in ink.
633-0498.
Okay, 633-0498.
Folks, for the listening public, 252 633-0498. Non-emergency number.
Yeah, and try to give us, you know, as much information as you can and a callback number so if we have questions, because a lot of times that animal's not just going to sit tight and wait for us to come to that exact location.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know, obviously, the description, whether or not they had a collar on. Those stuff.
And don't chase them.
Right. Don't chase them.
Don't chase them. If possible, stay nearby. Or
well, I mean, yeah.
Again, don't chase them.
But, I mean, you know, our APS deputies are, I mean, they're true professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And dedicated?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what they were born for.
Yes.
The fact that I've got them at my office and I get to work with them is just, man, it's a privilege. And our county is extremely fortunate.
Yeah, we have a little girly pop who was underneath a shed, and the APS had to crawl in under and get her out. And mm-hmm. now she comes to the door and wags her tail and wants to be pet and go outside. And she's just really become a loving dog, but it wouldn't have been possible without, I think it was Officer Schmitz crawling on her belly underneath the shed.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Listen, they'll go in culverts, under sheds, in trees, you name it. They're going to go to them.
Just don't do it when there's mud down on the ground.
That doesn't stop. I mean,
I know.
And, you know, not anybody can do this job. I mean, what they see, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
I don't.
No. But it's a labor of love.
Oh,
it
gosh.
Really, really is.
Yeah.
And the reward is a non-material reward when you have saved someone like that. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCT8 Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. And we're going to head off where are we heading off to?
Federal
law?
Federal animal law.
Right.
Potential law?
Yeah. So as an animal welfare advocate, my name is Joanna Koster. I go out into the public and I talk to the public about bills that would make life better for dogs that are locked in puppy mill cages. And the problem with that is that these dogs have been documented as coming out with major medical problems, emotional and behavioral problems. Then they're bought by the public and then the public can't handle the dog and they're surrendered to the shelter. So they're raising rates there. So I'm very excited to share two important important bills that are now, one has just been reintroduced. It's really amazing. It's the Puppy Protection Act. It was introduced a while ago, and now it's up for passage again. And we really need this because this is a bill that is a game changer for dogs in puppy mills. It raises standards. For instance, the dogs would have to be let out of their cages once a day for exercise, which they don't get now. There would be no more stacked cages, no more wire flooring. They would get vet care. So these are all the things that would make life better for these dogs, and maybe they wouldn't come out with so many problems until there are no more puppy mills. They should at least have a better life.
Is that
so,
state or local?
That is federal? No, that's the federal. And that bill is called the Puppy Protection Act, and it is H.R. 2253. And what we really need to have happen is people need to call our Congressman Murphy, who is a major doggy dad. I've seen his dog when I met with him in October at his office to discuss another bill. We need to call him and ask him to co-sponsor this bill. It's really important. And then the other bill that's come up is the Better Care for Animals Act, which has to do with enforcement of this Puppy Protection Act. Right now, the USDA has been asleep at the wheel, and it's been documented over and over again. For instance, how they let the Envigo Labs fiasco, where there were over 4,000 beagles that were rescued because they were in dire straits. They were dying and diseased, and they had to do an undercover investigation. PETA actually got involved because the USDA had their inspectors being ignored when they'd come back and report on these animals. So for some reason, something happened at the USDA level, and they were not going back out and finding this lab, which now is closed, and they can no longer breed.
The number on that?
The bill number on that is H.R. 5041, and it's called the Better Care for Animals, and it stands for Better Collaboration, Accountability, and Regulatory Enforcement. And what it does is it allows the USDA to bring in the DOJ only when needed. This is not about the weaponization of the DOJ. Let me be clear on that. What it does do is it provides a deterrent. Right now, breeders, there's so many bad breeders. That's why we need this legislation, because they're being reported on. So this bill would allow the DOJ to come in when needed and to be the deterrent that the breeders need to have so they don't continue their bad practices.
Now, do the breeders currently have to be registered as a business?
Yes, they do. Oh, if they have over a certain number of dogs, they need to be licensed. But a problem with that is if they are fined or found out to be having inhumane conditions and they're closed, then they open up the street under a different name, or with somebody else. And these kinds of actions happen, and that's why the puppy mill industry has so many problems in it, because there's a lot of things that go under the radar, and they continue to operate. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect example. I got my dog secondhand from someone who had gone to a breeder to buy one puppy, ended up buying three because of how poorly the puppies were. They were all underweight, had actually had some seizures, and I got an Embark DNA test on my dog, and she was 20% inbred, golden retriever, so making air quotes, reputable breeder that they bought it from. These puppies were not cared for properly, were inbred to begin with, and she's now 3 years old and already has hip dysplasia. So, you know, even these people who may appear to be good breeders or are only doing one dog at a time may not have either the expertise or the care to make sure that they're doing it properly.
Absolutely. So down the road, another thing I think North Carolina will be looking at will be breeding standards for dogs and for the breeders. We don't have anything in place right now, and that needs to happen.
Yeah.
So, but that right now, though, we do have two pieces of legislation that need to our support, and we can do that by calling our congressman in Eastern North Carolina. That's Representative Greg Murphy.
Yeah, just to be clear, the second one that you mentioned is at the House of Representatives.
Yes.
So you can call the number and ask for his office.
Right.
Or you can look up his office directly on the website for the House of Representatives.
Right. I have the phone number for Congressman Murphy.
Go ahead.
That is, this is the Washington phone number for Representative Congressman Murphy, 202-225-3415. That's 202-225-3415. Right. And that you can be the voice for these dogs that don't have the ability to speak for themselves. They need people to speak up for them.
Now, you've written a book. Tell us about your book.
Well, the book has to do with, it's a coming-of-age story of a young sixth-grader girl who takes in a puppy mill dog and knows nothing about puppy mills, and it's a journey of her learning what that means, what pet store puppies are, and what she can do to help guide people to get dogs from their shelters, their rescues, and reputable breeders. So there's a lot of information. It took me 10 years to write it. And I partnered with groups like the Humane Society, with Dr. Franklin McMillan, a major veterinarian expert in the field of animal trauma, who has done the research on dogs from puppy mills, showing all of the problems that they come out with. So yeah, I do, I go out to the public, I speak like at the Rotary Club or at different political groups, to let people know there is a major problem with puppies from pet stores and online.
What's
that you
name?
Won't learn about. Oh, the name of the book is called Lily Unleashed.
Okay.
And it's been, there's about 80 reviews on Amazon. I mean, it's not just a kid's book. It's a book that's written to anyone, an animal lover. It's considered a middle grade novel, but I've had more adults review it on Amazon than kids.
So you can buy it on Amazon.
Oh, absolutely, on Amazon and also locally. Yeah, Lily Unleashed.
And I have read it. It is a fantastic book and tells a story that I was totally unaware of. I didn't know about puppy mills. I had no idea that such things existed. The other thing I want to mention while we're talking about this is evidently under the Trump administration, the FDA and the EPA have both moved to limit animal testing.
Yes, I just saw that yesterday.
They are both moving in that direction. I'm sorry, Fauci was cruel. The things that I've read about...
Sand flies and the beagles?
Yeah, he was cruel. And he did things that should not have been allowed.
They cut their vocal cords
so they couldn't bark.
So
I know.
Nobody could hear them mewling.
But and, go ahead. What
you
are
know,
things?
But we're going to make a change here, and I think it's
yes.
a good change.
They're finding out that computer models are just as effective as the research, working with research instead of using the animals, they mm-hmm. can do computer models. And a friend of mine has just gone around the country with one of her beagles that was rescued from Invigo Labs. She went around, she sold her house and went around the country to all of the labs that are testing animals with petitions from like 40,000, 50,000 people to ask them to please consider stopping their testing because of what we know we can do on the computer.
Yeah.
Really, and it matters.
And
yeah,
it's cruel.
But we have to speak up. It's really easy to make a phone call.
Yeah, and I know on the veterinary aspect of it, they have they're called syndavers, and they're artificial cadavers. They have them for people, and they've been making them for veterinary students as well, so dogs, cats, so that anatomy labs can be conducted repetitively on these silicone models so that the vet students can get direct hands-on procedures for maybe a more in-depth procedure that rather than a spay or a neuter, maybe a leg amputation or something like that that you wouldn't do on a healthy dog, they can now do on these silicone syndaver.
S-Y-N?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not S-I-N.
No. I think that's a different thing.
More good news on the animal welfare front. Yeah. That's great.
No, we need to change some of our thinking about how we treat animals, how we value them, and the whole concept of this whole accent on purebred thing needs to just go away.
Yeah, your mixed breed dog is going to be much healthier long term. Research supports over and over again that rates of cancer, joint issues, mm-hmm. Psychological issues are all much lower in mixed breed animals called hybrid vigor.
Really?
I'm sorry, I'm not giving up my standard poodle.
Now, quick question, and I know, Sheriff, you have a number of working dogs mm-hmm. within the sheriff's office.
I do.
And I almost said department. I can't say
that's
that.
That's okay. It happens. Okay. I mean, I would correct you.
Okay. Within the county, I know that there's other working dogs, whether they're on farms or whatever else. And folks, there are working dogs. There's also the pets and whatever else. But they all deserve respect.
That's right. We do get in quite often Great Pyrenees, which are farm dogs. So they actually serve to protect the goats and chickens and things from coyotes and foxes. So they're more alert dogs than anything else. But we do occasionally get the Great Pyrenees that's either gone astray or been retired. So just because they're not a pet doesn't mean they can't be cared for properly. And they have a job to do, as most dogs were developed for. So I think purebreds for a reason.
By the way, trivia. Kurt Schilling, the bloody sock
pitcher for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, he raises the Great Pyrenees. So. Yeah.
And one of the statistics I learned in doing research for my book and working with the Humane Society is over a quarter of the dogs in shelters are purebreds across America. Yeah. And so where are they coming from? They're not coming from reputable breeders. They're coming from puppy mill breeders, mm-hmm. backyard breeders. But there are purebreds, and doesn't mean all of them have congenital problems either. But yeah.
I think one of the most amazing things is to watch a well-trained sheepdog do his job. And that's where border collies shine. Now, we had a collie... who had wonderful protective instincts, but to put it politely, she was dumb as wood. And, you know, but the border collie seemed to be doing that. I took the collie to obedience training, where she flunked. And
As did we, yes.
Well, us too. And I expected the German Shepherds to be the ones that were outsmarting the rest of the dogs. It was not the German Shepherds, it was the poodles.
Uh-huh. Usually they're 1-2, either the shepherd or the poodle, depending on who's giving their opinion or the smartest dog.
Yeah, and Lisa just wanted to be everybody's friend unless you were getting near her kids. So there wasn't much
hope. Well, I can't watch the Winchester dog show?
Oh.
The Westminster?
Westminster.
Dog show. The giant schnauzer that won this year is beautiful.
Yeah.
Black, beautiful dog.
Mm.
The cacophony at my house would my watching that show ever again.
But animals are part of our lives.
Yeah.
They really are.
And enrich them deeply.
And there's something to be said to not come home to an empty house, but come home. If you have a dog, your dog is glad to see you and you're the best person in the world. If you have a cat, it's kind of optional.
Yeah. They just happen to be in the room.
But, I mean, they do add a lot to our lives, and we need to return the favor.
And they promote humanity. They bring out the best in us. They bring out caring, nurturing, and love.
Mm-hmm.
And what more could you ask for?
Yeah. Well, this is true. Just therapeutic.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't talk back.
Yeah, I mean, they lower the blood pressure.
There you go.
And they don't become teenagers.
Have you had a 2-year-old golden retriever?
Listen, mine, as long as we're throwing ball, we can all day long.
Yeah.
Loves
I have a dog
it.
Like that.
Loves it.
Yeah. You had to put it on top of the fridge to get them to leave alone. Stop.
And she will talk when it's time to ball, she will talk to me. And Chip, it's time to go out and throw.
Okay.
And we go out there and I go home at lunch, and that's what we do during lunchtime.
Well, I used to just throw mine and bounce it off the wall, and I got so I could watch TV with one hand because she'd come and put it back in my hand.
I, for one, would like to give thanks for living in a community, county that so values its animals and puts its money where it's how does that go?
That
it's
one,
money
yeah.
where its mouth is.
Yeah.
And supporting our shelter, because it is. That's it. We are an animal-loving community, and I'm so grateful for that.
Dr. Osler's done a fantastic job. She has righted a big wrong, and what a huge lift.
Well, and I'm happy that I was not involved in any of the previous things that was before I
Me
moved
too.
To New Bern, but... Well, I've been really lucky to have the support of our community and our sheriff, and just everyone has been so supportive, and
we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
And
thank you for coming and rescuing the rescue.
That's great.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Folks, we're going to wrap up the show, and again, thank you very much for being on the show. Folks, go out if you can, adopt an animal. But whatever you do, take care of the ones that you do have. Take good care
of them. What is it, adopt, not shop?
Yes.
And if you need help, don't hesitate to reach out to us or the sheriff's office.
Give them a big
and, and also, go out and volunteer.
Yes.
Folks, again, this is CCT8 Wake Up Call.